Hello, hello, hello. You're on the road less traveled with Gary L. and Gigi's Boo over here on reallibertymedia.com, RLM Radio. Hello, hello. What's going on? Hey, Gigi's Boo, what's up?
Good evening, everybody. It's right airish down here.
Is it? Yeah, the air is just blowing. It's March.
If you're actually trying to take them to task, you're not necessarily a cricket.
Whoa, something is going wrong. Hal, hey, Hal, you just broke into my show. That's because I didn't stop the VLC player. Hey, welcome aboard, Hal. You just broke right in. Nice to hear you. No, anyway, yeah, it's March, and that's what happens when it's March. And Gigi's Boo spent last night very carefully. She did an experiment, actually. She very carefully cut the end off a blanket that we have, about a foot of it, actually, and sewed it onto the other end to see if it was longer. And did that? How'd that turn out, Gigi's Boo?
Well, it's not longer, but it's just like what they say, the Indian's life, and say only a white man would think you could cut 12 inches off of a blanket, sew it on the top to make it longer. That's the way it is with daylight savings time. They need to leave the time alone. Go by Indian time. When the sun comes up, it's time to get up. When the sun goes down, it's time to go to bed.
That's right. And when you get tired, you sit down, take a break, right?
You do a little stump sit. When you get tired, find me a stump and sit down.
Yeah, stump sitting. That's right. That's exactly right, Gigi's Boo. And Atticus, we weren't here last week, and we apologize, but we'll get to that in a minute. But, of course, we always have to tell an Atticus story. Atticus is a big part. And I was remarking, Atticus has this particular way of the old Sphinx pose when he's lying down. And that's kind of a neat look. I mean, he does that showing his bloodline, I guess. But he's a mischievous little thing. I think he had something to eat the other night, Gigi's Boo, and he did something strange. What was that?
I can't remember. Tell me. We talked about it, but I can't remember it.
Well, you remember he was eating something, and he got all over his face. And...
Oh, gosh. Yes, my uncle was over here, and we were eating. And it was soup beans and some cornbread and stuff. And so my uncle said, here, last bite. He let him have the plate. And when he let him have the plate, he licked it. And he got a little bean juice on his whiskers. And he just took his head and rubbed one side of his face on his breechy leg and rubbed the other side of his face on the other part of the leg. And he said, did you see that dog wipe his mouth on me? I said, oh, yes. And he said, don't you do that anymore, boy. And he just went up and kicked backwards. That's his way of, oh, ush. And we thought that was so funny.
That's his dismissive thing he does.
He does so many things, though, about food and everything. Honestly, Gary has to remind me because we laugh so much about him.
Yeah. I don't know what to do with that. He just does all that. Anyway, let me see what we've got going on here. We weren't here last week. Gigi's Boo, and this is one of the, I guess, an area of contention that many people have, is we don't typically eat out at restaurants and places like that. We try to eat at home, and we try to prepare foods that are not soaked in glyphosate and its related ingredients and so forth, and all this genetically modified frankenfood. We're trying to avoid that. But occasionally the boo-boo
will slip out and misbehave.
Yeah, and talk about that and how the drastic effects that it has on you.
Well, I was rushing around Friday morning, and I just said, you know, I'm not going home and cook any breakfast while I'm out. Gary was busy, and I said, I'll just get me a biscuit. Well, I sure did. I got one of those gravy biscuits from Hardee's, and I ate it, and all of you know that I'm diabetic. I can cook my own biscuits, and my sugar doesn't escalate. But anything that I buy out, I've learned that it just tears me up. I was so sick that I was absolutely just told Gary, I said, Gary, I can't stay up. I've got to go to bed. I was in the bed from that Friday until about that Monday or Tuesday. And I was able to get up and cook. Gary cooks, but I was able to cook. And once I ate something that I cooked, I was better. And Gary was just kind of preaching to me the whole time I was sick about buying that nasty gravy biscuit. Shouldn't have done it, but I was really under the weather all weekend. And so I stay away from that stuff.
Yeah, I think that's referred to as a self-inflicted wound.
Yeah, a big one. It was a big one. And I was just nauseated and just hurting. My stomach hurt. And it was just terrible. I said, no, never again will I do that.
It's unbelievable how much we're seem to be becoming accustomed to being poisoned and sprayed and... I don't know, having our genes modified and being irradiated by things like 4G and Wi-Fi and decked phones and all that stuff is just becoming par for the course, you see, and that's what we do. But one of the things that is kind of an ongoing stick in the eye, I suppose, and this has happened also over on Suspect Sky with Adrian, where we help over there on the now it's turned into a weekly discussion video, an hour or so, about different topics. But it seems that when you get into the certain areas, YouTube has this propensity to mark your videos as restricted. Now, more on restricted in a minute, but let's talk a minute about our archives over on YouTube. Now, Real Liberty Media, as we pointed out 2 weeks ago, has just had its 10th year anniversary. Hoorah, and many happy returns, I suppose, has had its 10-year anniversary, so it's had a YouTube presence for a little while. I'm not sure exactly how long. Grimnir can probably tell me when he started posting the archives in YouTube, but there is a Real Liberty Media YouTube page, if anyone wants to check it out. All the archives are there, Behind the Woodshed and the Dork Table, Grammys, Rocket Chair, and all these are over there in addition to Road Less Travel. We talked about the fact that recognition is one of the main drivers of human behavior. It just happens to be a fact and always has been. So it's nice to see you go to your archive, see how many people listen to the archive. Well, it's kind of depressing when you go to YouTube because you look and like the 2 weeks ago in the archive, it has had a blistering 24 views, and of course one of those would have been mine because I would have checked it out and done a little editing on content. And you're sitting there saying, wow, that's a little bit depressing. So with all the things going on that you start to discover with platforms like YouTube and Google, you say, well, there are alternatives to this. And so one of the alternatives that we've gone to is BitChute. Went to BitChute. BitChute's not been around a whole long time. I actually signed up for an account a year ago and just observed for a little while. Excuse me a second. Okay, had a call. Didn't want to cough in the ear. Had to observe a little while, but then 4 months ago, we uploaded our first archive into our page on BitChute. And it's BitChute. And I can just drop the link to this in other places where we are, BitChute. But guess what? The very same archive has 200 views, 200 listens. That's an 800% difference between what's this and what's over at YouTube. What's up with that? What's up with that? One could guess, argue that, well, BitChute's just artificially inflating your numbers. I'm sure that's what YouTube would say. But what it also suggests to me is that there's a little bit of shadow banning going on over on YouTube. Certain messages are being suppressed, maybe. I mean, it's certainly not the case of BitChute, is it? But one of the other things I found interesting, we've had this running gun battle going on with Pinterest with respect to this very same archive. And what's weird, well, let me just go ahead and do it. I'm on the page. So let me tell you what it says. Okay, we're going, and I have, on Pinterest, I have several boards. One of them is a Howl board behind the Woodshed. I keep on Pinterest. I don't even think he knew that. Several others, actually, as well. And I have the Road Less Traveled board. Okay, well, we're going to
put this BitChute archive, as usual, we've done in the past, always have, with the YouTube before we went to BitChute. So I click on the road less traveled. Oh, no. The message comes back. Something went wrong. Sorry. We blocked this link because it may lead to inappropriate content. But if you send a YouTube over there, it doesn't do that. So I'm not saying there's any collusion going on, but I'll let the evidence speak for itself. Now, I've been in contact, of course, with Pinterest about all this, and after, I don't know how long, a week or so, I finally got an email back, and they're asking, what is it that's wrong? What's the problem? We don't understand. Can you explain to us? You know, I've already sent them 3 emails explaining the problem. And I basically copy and paste everything I've already told them into another email to respond to them. And that was 4, 5, 6 days ago. I don't know. That's a little while ago. And they have yet to respond. And I noticed that BitChute, at least, is still restricted from being posted on my Pinterest page. So if you didn't think that there's some hanky-panky going on with the internet, I don't know what else you need to hear. What do you think about all that, Gigi's Boo?
I know they're censoring us. They think they're going to stop us. That's crazy. We'll just find another way.
Well, I think the proof is actually there that it's stupid. It's a stupid policy. Well, it's very short-sighted and it's very typical of a corporate mentality. That, you know, you remove the immediate pain. The immediate pain is that advertisers or uncertain powers that be are upset because this particular message is being propagated, blah, blah, blah. So they knee-jerk and start creating all these processes to try to minimize the messages. What happens then is other, as has always been the case in any industry, competitors say, ooh, here's an edge, here's an angle. People like BitChute, people like Steemit, and DTube, we're also looking at something. And that's interesting because Steemit and DTube are blockchain-driven platforms. So that's kind of an interesting thing, too. But they start to crop up in response. So what happens? People start to migrate to these other platforms. And, oh, no, YouTube is losing all these people. And the stockholders say, what's wrong with y'all? You know, it's just the same old psychopathic mantra.
Mm-hmm.
It's just disgusting, Gigi's Boo, you know?
Oh, yeah. Very much so. Now, you're going to offend a snowflake or you're going to offend somebody else. Get a life, please.
Yeah. You know, and as we were talking pre-show, you have people like Survival Lily, and I don't know how many folks subscribers to her products on YouTube, but she's created quite a brand for herself in the survival and bushcrafting and preparation stuff. And she's quite good, an Austrian of all things, an Austrian woman who's a CPA by day and has become a very loud voice in the area of preparations and so forth. All her bushcrafting videos that have anything to do with hunting or field dressing a squirrel or a deer or catching a fish and cleaning a fish and showing how to do all that, all of those videos are marked as restricted. They're all marked as restricted. You see, it's one of those little neat little shadow banning tools that they have that you don't even know about unless you know how to check for it. So what's the big deal about restricted? Well, restricted means that nothing that is restricted will show up in the recommended viewing. That's the number one thing. And of course, I can see why it could arguably be necessary to have such a function as restricted because, I mean, you want things to be youngins friendly. You don't want youngins to be exposed to too much crazy stuff. But what about knowing how to take care of yourself in the wild?
Oh, that's going to be very interesting when a lot of people are not able to do that. That's going to be very interesting.
Well, yeah, and it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous on its face that someone with the skills and the knowledge and the capability and the self-reliance, I guess you'd say, has her stuff blocked, basically, restricted, so only certain people can see it. Well, you know, the stupidity of it is the people who would watch Survival Lily are the ones who already are familiar with those sorts of things, for the most part. And, on the other hand, some people who'd like to be familiar with it, so they want to learn these things. But no, YouTube says you can't, because that might offend you. And it's not going to be a YouTube beat-up show, trust me, but I get off on a tangent on these things. But, if you know, if you're into that sort of thing, look up Survival Lily. And she had to move because of her loss of monetization, because her videos had gotten so popular that she was earning quite an income. And she had corporate sponsorships and all these sorts of things. She was getting all this free stuff, really neat, to, you know, just for her to showcase it. So they start cranking down on her monetization. So what she had to do, she went, the reaction to that was a site called Patreon. So you go to Patreon. So you go to Patreon and sign up and pledge, like, whatever, dollar show or whatever. And that way she'll have an income still. So it's crazy what people have to do in order to keep the message alive. And on the other hand, it's kind of interesting, and it's instructive to see how they try to suppress the message. Such a war going on. We go war in the trenches, right, Gigi Smith?
Mm-hmm.
So those of you who feel like no one is interested in what you have to say, you might want to reconsider that. Because it could very well be that people aren't being given the opportunity to hear what you have to say. And you don't have any idea that's going on in the background. But speaking about crazy stuff going in the background, and a lot of you have already heard about this. Well, this just happened in the last few days. This young lady here not too far away from Roanoke, Virginia, was a social worker. And was fired. She's 22 years old, right? Graduated from Roanoke College. She's local, same background that we have from, you know, from that part of the world, Appalachian area part of the world. She's been firing weapons since she was 9 years old. She hunts and she deer hunts and she knows how to dress them. And her granddad owned a gun store. And she happened to also be a concealed carry person. In Virginia, it's a concealed pistol permit, is what it's called. But it turns out that she was fired just, according to the reports, just for having the permit. She didn't carry the weapon to work. She didn't have it in the car in the parking lot. She just had the permit. She was considered, according to this article in Town Hall, they said, beside the fact that she's a safety risk regarding her concealed carry permit, she was cited for wearing loafers at training and not closing a predetermined amount of cases in her employee evaluation. And her requirement was to close 3 cases a day, which she said she did, but when she ended up suffering a concussion and breaking her leg, she ended up not being able to meet that quota, you see. And she was interviewed. We'll just run this very short interview, but we'll go ahead and run that so you can hear her side of this.
Testudo, my friends, and welcome to a very special edition, a preview of the Angie Austin Mike Opelka program that is debuting Monday on radio stations around the country. And we're giving you a sneak preview of a very special interview we just completed. We spoke with a young lady who is going viral, as they say. Her name is Storm Durham. She's a 22-year-old college graduate, the first person in her family to go to college and graduate, and she was working in Child Protective Services. She also happens to be a hunter. somebody who has used a gun since she was 9 years old. She grew up around guns in Virginia. Her grandfather owned a gun store. So this is not some crazy woman who ran out and got a gun off the streets. She's been around guns and used guns safely for a very long time. Friday, she was fired from her job because she is a concealed carry weapons holder, and she didn't even have the gun with her. Angie and I talked to her just a few minutes ago, and we wanted to share that interview with you. And don't forget to join us Monday. You can listen easily on KLZ AM 560 in Denver. But here's our interview with Storm Durham. Angie, please, may I have your attention?
Yes, you may. You're very dominating, but yes, you may.
You don't have to say it like that. I have exciting news. I have breaking news for you.
All right, I'm ready for some breaking news.
Are you sitting down?
Yes, I do generally do the radio while seated.
You might want to stand up for this, because this you
All
might
right.
want to stand up and applaud. Angie,
over
the weekend, a big story broke. Friday, I happened to notice something trending on Twitter, and it was a story of a young lady who had lost her job, and it related to her concealed carry permit, and yet there wasn't anything really, I think, out of the ordinary with the fact that she had a concealed carry permit, and I tracked her down, and she's agreed to join us for a few minutes today. Her name, let me give you the basics. Her name is Storm Durham. She's 22, I think almost 23 years old, college graduate, and a legal firearms owner, and somebody who I heard her say she's been hunting since she was 9, and her grandpa owned a gun store. If I got anything wrong, Storm Durham, please correct me, because that's what happens on this show all the time. I get corrected by smart women.
No, everything's correct that you said.
Well, welcome. Welcome to the show, Angie. Meet Storm. Storm, meet Angie.
All right, Storm, as I'm looking at your picture, and you are my height, we're 5'2", you're blonde, you are me, you know, about 20 years ago, and I'm looking at you, and you remind me a bit of, I have a gorgeous friend who carries her gun everywhere, who is a real estate agent, and often does open houses and is very afraid to be alone, and she is very open about the fact that she always has a weapon with her. And as you mentioned, Mike, this is all legal, right? This is a concealed carry permit. You have one as well, Mike, so you're more familiar with this. So this is you legally able to carry a gun, which when I read the article, Storm, did you take it into work with you or leave it outside in your car?
No, it's never even been on the property. Where we had strict rules that we could not have it on us or in our car or anything like that. And I've abided by those.
So explain your job too. So Mike, here we have a young woman, 22, with a concealed carry permit who's not bringing it to work. It's not in her car and it's not on the property. And the story says she may have lost her job because she has a concealed weapon permit. So give us the backstory on this, Storm. What do you do? You're a social worker in Virginia.
Yes, I was a CPS investigator. So we would get the call and we would be the first ones on scene knocking on the door with the allegations that were given to us or at the school talking to the child. I was threatened almost every day of my life by these parents, and I was going into the houses alone.
And you're not a big, burly person who has a police officer. It's just little old you, petite you, I guess is the appropriate term, correct?
Yes, I'm very tiny, and I get that a lot, and I have a lot of parents who have taken advantage of that, not only that I'm tiny, that I'm 22, that I'm a woman. They try to intimidate me out of that. I'm knocking on drug dealers and gang members' doors, so they're usually a lot bigger than me.
Wait a second. You are unaccompanied. You have to go into neighborhoods where children are at risk and knock on doors alone of known gang members' families' homes and in dangerous locations by yourself?
Yes, ma'am. We actually, one of my things we went into, we found out later that it was one of the, they call them the OGs, one of the gangs in Roanoke. You never know what you're walking into. It was scary. Officers, they have their partner. We have no one, and we're not allowed to carry either, but I respected that.
So you never brought your firearm with you on one of these calls. It was just you and God going into that house.
Yep, that was it. And just hoping and praying that he would keep me safe and that I would be able to fight back if I ever had to.
You are so much braver than I am. And Angie, I said it before you did, because I know this. I know this in my heart. This is amazing that you have done this. And one of the things, Storm, that I heard in the original interview is that you got questioned about guns in your house last fall. Tell that story real quickly.
It was about two months ago now. I was called into my supervisor's office, and the other supervisor was present as well. And they started asking me really strange questions, like questions like, what do you feel safe in your home? Is there domestic violence? And I was like, no, like, what is going on? And then she was like, well, we've gotten word that there's guns in your home. And I was like, yeah, and? Like, well, I don't understand the
first of all,
in there.
How would they find out, or how would they know there are guns in your home? Are they spying on you?
No, I guess it's just social media. Like, I am on different, like, process and brand ambassadors for different hunting companies and fishing. So I post about my hunts. I post about I post different things to get attention on Instagram and Twitter and things like that. So I guess they just found out that way.
Angie, this is remarkable to me. This, and I'm not trying to talk around you, Storm, but I want our audience to understand, because we're 6 minutes into this. We're talking to a 22-year-old lady named Storm Durham, who lost her job working in child protective services, child family services in Virginia, reportedly because she was a concealed carry weapons permit holder and didn't even have her gun on the job or on in the office or in her car. Storm, what happened Friday? Tell Angie that story.
So Friday, I was called into, my supervisor came and got me and took me into our associate director's office, where there was three police officers in her office. And I guess she was, like, briefing them about what was about to happen. They stood outside the office as I was told that I was being dismissed and that I got to read through the letter, and it said that a safety concern. And I was like, what? I was like, what is the safety concern? And she said that it was a safety concern because I have my concealed carry permit and that it was a safety risk for the entire building. And I said, I've never had my gun on me during a visit or in the office or even on the property. And she said that, well, how do we know that? And I said, search me. There's three officers here. Search me. And the three officers then escorted me. Well, they told me to take a minute. And I said, can I go to the restroom? And they said, no, that's a safety risk. The three police officers escorted me to my office where they made me pack all of my stuff up. They were touching all of my personal belongings, put it on the cart outside my office, and escorted me to my car.
Were these male police officers?
Yes, sir.
These are police officers that, you know, you had worked with in the past when you were helping to rescue children from really difficult situations as well. So you know some of the police force. So again, 5'2", you're 22, you're 140 pounds, you have no criminal record, you have a concealed carry permit, you never brought the gun to work, you didn't put it in your car, you did not have it on the property. Yeah. So again, no criminal record, you're a hunter. You've been shooting, you know, most of your, you know, a lot life since you could, you know, use a firearm. And you are a sponsor of hunting and across America. So real quickly, you do hunt and use the gun, you know, for other purposes as well. I want to ask a little bit about that. But also something you mentioned in one of your write-ups on social media is that you're also you were the victim of sexual assault. And so you feel that protecting yourself as an American, as a young woman, as a you know, attractive 22-year-old, small, tiny woman, you feel as an American you have a right to do.
Yes, and I feel like I do. I fear retaliation from the person. I'm currently trying to get that taken care of. It happened in college, and that is something that no woman should ever have to go through, and it brings up a lot of different PTSD kind of things, just walking at night or anything like that. You want to be aware, you want to be vigilant, and I want to be able to protect myself when I need to.
Well, it's constitutionally guaranteed. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's that Second Amendment right there, Ange. You see that right under the First Amendment that lets us talk. It's unbelievable.
And that the hunting, just real quickly, so tell us about that, too. I'm curious. You're such a tiny little cute girl. The hunting, that's something that you've done with your family?
Yeah, since I was 9 years old, I have two brothers. I've shot more deer, killed more deer than both of them combined. I grew up just hunting. I got, and my grandpa owned a gun shop, so it was kind of just in our blood. My dad processes all of his own meat, and it's a really big thing that I've just learned to love to do with my family, my dad, my boyfriend, my little brother, everything like that. We love to just get out there, and it gives us some time to interacting.
It's family time. A lot of my relatives hunt and eat the food that they, you know, the deer, you know. I mean, a lot of people in the city are like, ew, but it's delicious. And a lot of people, you know, it's necessary. It helps with the family and feeding them all winter long. Okay, so, Mike,
yes.
I can't wrap my head around this. I don't see how legally, if she's not bringing the gun to work, that, you know, and she has a concealed legal permit to have a gun, why she would be fired for having those in her home and off of the work premises. And then you did a Facebook Live, and a lot of people seem to be critical of you. And
okay, let's hold it right there. It starts to digress a little bit. But that's an amazing story, and I think we just guaranteed, as we were talking about earlier, I think we just guaranteed that this archive will be marked as restricted on YouTube because it actually talks about hunting deer and family time, you know, people who do these sorts of things. Gigi's Boo, what are your reactions to this whole story about this young lady?
Well, I just can't believe this has happened. First of all, I would be hunting a attorney that specialized in civil rights. You might have to go out of the state to get one, but I would hunt somebody and I would be suing some people for my civil rights violations. And also, they would be giving me some money from firing me from my job, too. That's discrimination. They can't do that.
Yeah, it's a bizarre story. And it makes me wonder, Hal said something in the chat room, that her job causes him problems, and probably better that she's out of that job. And I don't want to get too deep into that, but I think most of us know the direction he's going. But it does lead me to think of a potential here is maybe a couple of things. One, maybe she ended up going after the wrong person and sort of set some wheels in motion.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe she's failed to go along with some particular programs that the others in the office might be associated with, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
So it just strikes me as so outside, so beyond belief that you're like sticking your neck out when you take some kind of action like that against an employee, unless there's something really compelling, some compelling reason behind it. But anyway, as it goes on, I've been tracking along with her on Twitter, and it occurred to me, since she's actually kind of local, that there's this, she had put up a twit, whatever, asking if anyone knew where she might be able to get a job. She does a student loan. She's a graduate from Roanoke College, and so she's a degreed professional in that regard. However, she's looking for work, and it occurred to me that this new facility, relatively new facility, in Roanoke called Safeside Tactical, the largest indoor firing range on the East Coast. And I went to the grand opening, if you will, and checked it out. It's a fascinating indoor range, and we're talking about multi-million dollar facility when we start dealing with air handling and all that stuff. But they have their own classes that they give. You know, they firearm familiarization classes and shooting classes and concealed carry classes. They have the gun store. They build weapons there. They actually build them how you like. They'll even give you a class on how to build them and provide you with the materials to do so. And that's in the case of an AR-15 style platform. And they also opened up another facility in Lynchburg, Virginia. But anyway, the one in Roanoke, and I recommended to her to check by Safeside Tactical, because it would, if it were me and I were the owner of that place and I got to meet the owner, seemed like a really nice guy. And if it were me, I would be very interested in hiring her. Wouldn't you think that'd be a good business move, Gigi's move?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be a very good move. I really think the Storm should take a little trip down to Safeside Tactical in Benton, Virginia, which isn't far away from her, and say hello to those folks and ask if there's any opening. So anyway, that's enough on that story, but it was such an outrageous, such an outrageous story. It just blows my mind, and I thought I'd gotten away, and I used to live in the People's Republic of Maryland, and then I was in the what turned out to be the People's Republic of North Carolina, and now we're in the People's Republic of Virginia, because there used to be a dividing line between the communists up in Northern Virginia and those parts of that part of the state and the rest of the state, but it seems like that they've overrun the rest of the state. It's, you know, we saw the events in Charlottesville, the crazy stuff going on there with statues, which is still yet to be resolved, as I understand it. It's kind of gone quiet, but nothing more has moved. The statues haven't been removed and all that stuff. But anyway, we see these things going on. It's just, what the hell is happening? Well, I think it's very instructive, and we've talked about this in the past, very instructive to familiarize yourself with something called the Frankfurt School, what the history behind the Frankfurt School was, and the fact that Nazis kicked them out of Frankfurt, from Frankfurt, Germany, during that period, and they ended up moving over to Columbia University in New York. Well, who do we know that went to Columbia University? Wait a minute, Barack Obama, yeah. So you can see, if you study up on the Frankfurt School, I think you'll see some of the, at least some of the background to what's going on in America today, and how academia and media, and then you have this, the corporate side as well, which is a whole other ballgame. Anyhow, Gigi's Boo, I think we've talked that to death. Anything else you want to throw in that?
No, that's enough. Just wish her well.
Yep, that's right. She'll be all right. You know, somebody's going to pick up on this. I could see John Whitehead somehow maybe looming in her future. But anyway, antidepressant microbes in soil. Oh, did you know, Gigi's Boo, that you can be, that you playing in dirt can make you happy? And that's not just from a hobby perspective, but actually a physiological perspective as well. In a gardening website, they talk about the antidepressant microbes in soil, how dirt makes you happy. And this is by Bonnie Grant, a certified urban agriculturalist. I didn't know they had distinctions between rural and urban agriculturalists, but they do. And it goes on to say, the Prozac may not be the only way to get rid of the blues. Soil microbes have been found to have similar effects on the brain and are without side effects. I may imagine that. It's kind of natural, wouldn't you think? And it talks about how to deal with all that and how to experience these sorts of things. But I think the bottom line here is to get your ass out of the house and out into the garden and dig in the dirt. Does that make sense, Gigi's Book?
Mm-hmm.
So what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, lots of things. All kind of microbes live in the ground, and germs too, but they're on the surfaces of your table and everywhere else. They're not to be feared, I don't think.
Well, no. I mean, what's that old saying? Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, right?
That's right.
I mean, we're actually made up of those very same materials, as it turns out. So why wouldn't it make sense to, we hear about grounding, you know, going barefoot out, you know, get off the concrete, get out of the house, walk in the grass, ground yourself. And there's some scientific support for that idea as far as mm-hmm. your natural bioelectrical processes are concerned. But, I mean, you are part of this bigger organism called the Earth. So it's crazy because I guess these transhumanists and GMO people and all that stuff would like to think that, no, we can create a better world. We can conquer nature. We can make nature bend to our rules. Oh, boy. Are you not opening up a can of worms with that, right, Gigi's Boo?
That's right.
Yeah. Mother Nature will bite you right in the tukas when you least expect it. It sure will. And speaking of this, and we've been talking, been beating up this whole 5G thing. What's interesting about this, there is so much going on
I mean, it's been going on, but there's so much. When you start digging into the materials, there are so many threats going on. We've mentioned the GMOs. We've mentioned the Roundups, the glyphosate and associated materials. And we've talked about the vaccines. We've talked about the water. In fact, my daughter and I were talking today about the fact that even here locally, the water reports are often that you're supposed to boil water before you use it. Well, let me stop you right there, because when you do the water analyses, you'll find that there are significant levels of heavy metals in the water supply here. To include aluminum, I can't imagine where that's coming from. But anyway, when you boil the water, you're actually consolidating the heavy metals, aren't you? So it might not have E. coli in it, but you get a double dose of aluminum after you boil it. Anyway, there's so many things that are going on, so many things coming at us. One of Brandon Turberville, I think Turberville, a lot of people are familiar with Brandon's work at Natural Blaze. He ran an article that talked about the fact that teen mental health has seriously deteriorated in 5 years, just a short 5-year period. And it identifies what is potentially the surprising culprit. It talks about the fact that the number of U.S. teens who felt useless and joyless grew by 33%, and teen suicide attempts grew by 23%. The number of 13 to 18-year-olds who actually committed suicide jumped 31% in 5 years. Mm. And, of course, we just recently had this event in Florida, too, and some of the other events that deal with the people in that age frame. In a paper published by Clinical Psychological Science, researchers found that increases in suicide attempts, and depression were found in teens from every background, including races, ethnicities, and social classes. So we don't have a variable there. They're also found in every region across the country, so that's not a variable. Previously, it was thought that millennials were the most heavy sufferers of mental health issues of all generations. But it appears that young people born after 1995 are much more risk than millennials. Gene Twins, I'm not sure which, professor of psychology at San Diego State University, links that increase back to the appearance of, guess what? The smartphone. And it's either he or she, I'm going to assume she. She wrote, because the years between 2010 and 2015 were a period of steady economic growth and falling unemployment. I don't know about all that, but that's what she said. It's unlikely that economic malaise was a factor. Income equality was, and still is, an issue, but it didn't suddenly appear in the early 2010s. The gap between rich and poor had been widening for decades. We found the time teens spent on homework barely changed between 2010 and 2015, so that effectively ruled out the academic pressure as a cause. However, according to Pew Research Center, smartphone ownership crossed the 50% threshold in late 2012, right when teen depression and suicide began to increase. By 2015, 73% of teens had access to a smartphone. People they followed over time in two different studies, they found that spending more time on social media led to unhappiness, while unhappiness did not lead to more social media use. So they eliminated the whole reverse argument that they only spent all this time on social media because they were unhappy. A third randomly assigned participant was to give up Facebook for a week versus continuing their usual use. Those who avoided Facebook reported feeling less depressed at the end of the week. So this article goes on, talks a little bit more about all that. But here we go again, EMF, electromagnetic frequencies, right? Hal said something in the chat. Anyway, yeah, there are ways you can filter the water out, and of course reverse osmosis is a very expensive way of doing it, but there are systems that you can use. I personally buy water that comes from a protected spring source in the mountains, so don't have to worry too much about all that. Right, Gigi's Boo?
That's right.
Yeah, Boo-Boo Bear. So Atticus don't have no smartphone, does he?
Why, no. You know he doesn't.
No, you know
He'd like to have one, but...
Lord help, he'd be calling everybody.
Well, he does that anyway.
He'd call into the show and sit there and howl.
He tree knocks. You know, he tree knocks constantly when he wants something.
You've talked about that before. You want to remind people about what that's all about, what tree knocking is
all about. That's the way the Indians responded to each other. Like if we wanted to tell somebody something, we would knock on the tree. And the knocks, it wasn't like, hello, how are you today? It was something that was specifically needed. And they would knock, and then it would go to the next person that heard it, and they would send it on. And he's done that several times, and our holy man's responded to it. We don't know how he knows to do it, but he'll go out and get on the stump and tree knock, and there he is. He's got it going on.
Yeah, he'll be out there standing on that stump, patting away, like, what in the world?
Yeah. Yeah, sure will.
It's a very strange world we live in. And it can be a very exciting one, too, if we depend on our perspectives and what we allow to happen. And one of the things that... Whoa, what happened to my mouse? There we go. One of the things... Oh, Grimner said get a Crystal Quest water filter. Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought it was Hal. Yeah, that's fluoride. Don't worry about any fluoride. It comes out of the spring. This comes out of the high... altitude spring water, so I'm not too concerned about all that. Right, Gigi's Boo?
That's right.
Typo included, three. But you know, occasionally you get into these crazy conversations with people, and especially since this whole 5G thing has become an issue. And oh, by the way, Isle of Wight was not chosen as a 5G test bed. Imagine that. As much fuss as was kicked up and the potential remedies thereof was kicked up, and they decided to pass on Isle of Wight and went on to other places. But nonetheless, does not mean that people won't continue to discuss this issue of 5G and so forth. And it's no less so than in the forums, and people want to get upset, or maybe they're even trolls, industrial strength trolls, I guess you'd say. And they want to take you to task and prove to me that it's damaging. That's not so hard to do, because once you dig into the materials, and I think I mentioned before, or maybe I didn't, that the declassified CIA document from the 1970s, 1972, I believe, that included information from the 60s that talked about the fact that there were over 500 worldwide studies addressing the issues of super high frequency effects on human beings and other life forms. So if you want to know about, but if you really want to know about and not dig into all that crap, you know, you can get into all the hokey pokey details of that. Well, let's talk about why Lloyd's of London and other insurance companies exclude electromagnetic fields from their policies. How many people knew that? You have a life insurance, a health insurance, but if you dig into the exclusions, you'll find that in practically every case, electromagnetic fields are excluded. And this article by Andrew Geller online, and it's from actually 2015 of all things, it's important that radio waves are explicitly, you know, be included in insurance, specifically microwave zones are and what are enabled wireless communication devices like cell phones, Wi-Fi, cordless phones, etc. But they're not. They're excluded. The electromagnetic fields exclusion is a general insurance exclusion and is applied across the market as standard. The purpose of the exclusion is to exclude coverage for illnesses caused by continuous long-term non-ionizing radiation exposure, such as mobile phone usage. So Lloyd's of London is the one who led the path on that. And if you ever really want to know what's bad for you, just check the actuarial tables. They know, because that's their bread and butter. They need to know. They have to know what's going to kill you and what isn't, what the statistics are associated with that, and what the science is behind it. They have to know all those things. Because insurance companies aren't in business to make money. They're not in business to give you money. They're in business to try not to give you money. And in this one particular policy, in section 32,
starts out by saying, we will not make any payment on your behalf for any claim or incur any costs or expenses or reimburse you for any loss, damage, legal expense, fees, or costs sustained by you, or pay any medical expenses directly or indirectly arising out of, resulting from, or contributed to by electromagnetic fields, electromagnetic radiation, electromagnetism, radio waves, or noise. So my question is, what else did you need to know? Of course, as I've told Gigi's Boo, talking about this is kind of like trying to warn a crack addict about the dangers of crack cocaine. One of those things, one of those all-day suckers, is one of those gobstoppers, Willy Wonka gobstoppers, that people can't seem to get away from. But it is killing you. And the insurance companies know that. And they're telling you that right there in the black and the white. And nobody wants to listen. They still want to have them smartphones. They want to have that 5G, 100 megabits per second in their hand. So they can sit there and live in their la-la lands of virtual reality. As long as their brains cells stand up to it. What do you know, Gigi's Boo? What do you think about all that crazy stuff?
It's just crazy, it is. As Atticus would say, it's crazy, crazy, crazy. And he would kick at it.
Yeah, and what's interesting is that a lot of people suffer these symptoms that they misattribute. They think they're caused by something else, when in reality, these symptoms may be caused by the exposure to long-term exposure to electromagnetic frequencies. And can you touch on that a little bit, Gigi's Boo, or no?
No.
Okay, because there are certain things that occur, this different sensitivities, light sensitivities, sound sensitivities, all these things that we attribute to maybe something else, but they are known and have been known since at least the 60s to be associated with exposure to super high frequencies.
Well, that too. And let me tell you something else that people don't believe in. And this has been proven for centuries. The body changes with the seasons. The sap, when the sap goes down, the body's blood circulates different. When the sap comes up, it circulates different. And so a change in temperature and, like you said, the radio frequencies, it's enough to mess you up. People didn't have all these weird problems years and years ago like they have now.
No, they didn't. And it kind of takes us back to the plane in the dirt thing. You know, people who lived a life where they were routinely out in the yard, in the garden, flower gardens, even. My mother had fairly large flower gardens that she liked to tinker in.
Mm-hmm.
And you found that for whatever reason, maybe you didn't understand why, your life was a happier place. And sometimes we like to think maybe, well, that has to do with things were simpler in those days. Well, maybe there's more to that than just simplicity. Maybe it's the exposure to certain things that we had then we don't have now. And also along with that is the exposure to deleterious things like super high frequencies. That they really, this 5G thing, this 5G rollout, they want to put that everywhere where you will be constantly bathed in super high frequencies. We don't know exactly what that does to you. The waveforms, they don't even know exactly what they do to you. Apparently the insurance companies have a pretty good idea what they do to you. Because they don't want to pay for it. So I don't know. I don't want to beat that to death, but I can't. It's really important. It's important stuff. And it's 8 o'clock, Gigi's Boo. I've just run my mouth all this time, and there has to be something you'd like to share.
Oh, of course. Remember to take the road less traveled. And I love you all big to my heart.
And as Gigi's Boo said, we love you all deep to our heart. We're happy to be back. And we'll see if we can ever get beyond this BitChute Pinterest issue. I don't know what they got going on, but they apparently have something going on. So thanks for listening, and join us again next week here at reallibertymedia.com or LM Radio for the road less traveled. Take care. Have a great week. Bye-bye.